Slaveslam, Volume 4, Moadim, which is holidays, Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of the year, page 13, what is above reason in the work? Again, Slaveslam, Volume 4, holidays, Moadim, page 13, Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year. What is above reason in the work? It is written in the tefillah, in the prayer of Rosh Hashanah, thus saith the King, the Lord, King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. We have to understand that it says the King of Israel. And don't the nations of the world have a king? Is he not the king of the world, of the nations of the world as well? After all, he is the king of the world. The thing is that we have to know that everything we speak of the Lord, we don't speak of the Lord in and of himself, because they said that there is no perception and thought in him whatsoever. But all the appellations that we give to the Lord are what the creatures attain of him according to these names. As it is written, from your acts we know you. Hence, although the Creator is the King of the world, meaning even if the creatures do not want to recognize his kingdom, he does not need their consent to be king over them. But he rules without asking them and does what he wants. And no one has any opinion in the world, but he does what he wants. And he does not need the consent of the creatures. As it is written, I believe with whole faith. And he alone does, and will do all the deeds. Still, we should not ask, well then, if he is king over us without asking us. So why do we need to take upon ourselves the burden of his kingdom if he rules us anyhow? The answer is that we have to know it, that he governs us. And before a person takes upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven in faith above reason, meaning that the reason cannot understand it, meaning that within the reason a person cannot see that his leadership is in benevolence, but every person feels a deficit in pleasure that he enjoys his life, and everyone understands that if he could really see, because what he prays for and asks of God he immediately receives, this is called within reason, meaning that he doesn't have to believe that the Lord hears the prayer, because he sees with his own eyes that God has helped him. Whereas when he prays to the Lord several times and he thinks that the Creator does not answer his prayer, and the proof of it that he didn't receive anything that he prayed for, then a person should strengthen himself and say that he believes the words that are written, for you hear the prayer of every mouth. And although this is against reason, because reason shows him that the Creator does not turn to him, and when he strengthens himself and says what the mind obligates him, compels him to understand, he says, I don't believe, I don't look, but I believe in the faith of the sages, who told us that the Creator does hear the prayer of every mouth. This is called faith above reason. But by acceptance of the burden of the kingdom of heaven in this way, we afterwards attain to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, in equivalence of form, which is called vessels of bestowal. that in these vessels the Creator gives the delight and pleasure that He wanted to give. So thus we can understand, we understand what we have to attain by crowning the Creator over us, because that gives us vessels to enjoy the Creator. So what the Creator does when we have no contact with Him, He gives us nothing, meaning that we can enjoy nothing that is not in us, meaning we cannot enjoy the Creator. Only to the extent that a person believes in the Creator, then you can say that he receives from the Creator. But if a person doesn't believe in the Creator, how can he receive from Him? But as much as he believes in Him, to that extent, a person can receive from Him what he wants to give the creatures. But in order to come to the degree of reception of the burden of the acceptance of the burden of the kingdom of heaven, this is a great work. First of all, a person has to know that if he has no faith in God, how can he ask of Him for anything? Second, what will He give him if he has fear of heaven? Meaning, for whose benefit should he take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven? Meaning, is it for his own good or for the Creator? And if we say that it is for the Creator, then we ask, what will that give the Creator if we believe Him that He is King? What does that add to Him? We understand it in a flesh and blood King. He needs the honor. But what about the Creator? Does He need the creatures to respect Him? And this is as it is written in the introduction to the book of Zohar, that fear is infertile, meaning, I'm sorry, that fear is the most important thing, meaning to fear the Creator because He is great and rules all. He is great because He is the root from which all the worlds come, and His greatness appears with His deeds, and He rules everything, because all the worlds that He created, the upper and the lower, are considered as nothing before Him. They add nothing to His essence, meaning all the creatures add nothing to Him. So why do we need to do everything for the Creator, as it is written that your every act will be for the Creator, not for yourself? Because the Creator doesn't get from us working for Him anything, since He needs nothing. So why do we need to work in order to bestow? But this is for the creatures, that by that they are saved from the change of form from the Creator and attain equivalence of form, which is called, as He is merciful, so are you merciful. And it's not that He needs to be served, God forbid, as though He needs respect from the creatures, but when they work for the Creator, which is called only in order to bestow, that will benefit the creatures who will enjoy. And this is called that the concealment and restriction was in order to execute the perfection of His acts, meaning that the creatures could enjoy and would not feel any shame, which is the matter of equivalence of form and adhesion with the Creator. Now we can understand what we asked about the words King of Israel. Is He not a king to the nations of the world? God forbid. The answer is that in the work, every person is a complete world, as the Holy Zohar writes. Therefore, a person is comprised of the nations of the world and Israel. So the meaning of King of Israel means that it is when a person takes upon himself the burden of the kingdom of Israel, he is called King of Israel. Meaning Israel is called Yashar El, straight to God. Meaning that a person says that he is his king, meaning that he doesn't say that the Creator is the King of the world. Meaning, without the creatures accepting his kingdom, but the King of Israel is called what a person takes upon himself, the burden of the kingdom of heaven, willingly. But the nations of the world is called that he governs them unwillingly, meaning the Creator of the world, although they do not know anything about faith in God, and don't even want to think about the kingdom of heaven. This is called that he is king to the nations of the world, meaning he governs them and does what he wants without their awareness, that he does and will do all the deeds. Therefore, when it says the King of Israel, it means those who have taken upon themselves the burden of the kingdom of heaven knowingly and willingly. This is called the King of Israel. And it is written that man repays willingly and knowingly and unknowingly. Knowingly means the King of Israel. Unknowingly, the nations of the world that he governs. Although man has no reason even to think of faith. This aspect of man is called the nations of the world in man. Thus the meaning of thus saith the Lord, King of Israel, that those people who have already taken upon themselves the burden of his kingdom, says, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, meaning they feel that the Lord has redeemed them from the nations of the world, whose control is in the mind and heart. Mind meaning when the nations of the world say that only what the reason necessitates is true, whereas believing above reason, they do not give permission to a person to take that path. And the heart means that they do not let a person exit self-love, but say what the heart wants and feels, that it is for himself. They give permission to do these deeds. Whereas if a person wants to work in order to bestow, they stand firmly and a person cannot exit their control. But the Lord himself redeems them from their control. And it is written, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, meaning after they have taken upon themselves the kingdom of heaven, which is called the King of Israel, then they attain that the Lord is his Redeemer, meaning that only the Lord redeemed them from the evil. And for themselves, they had no power for that. Thus we can interpret the words, the Lord of hosts. That name indicates, as Bala Sulam said, who said, hosts are two words. Hosts in Hebrew, tzvaot, are two words, tse, vibo, go and come. Tzvaot, armies, are people of war, meaning those are people who are going to fight the evil inclination every day. They are called an army. Therefore, after they are redeemed, meaning after they have conquered the evil inclination and exit the authority of evil, and their work was in ascent and descent, this is called hosts or armies, meaning once they were in control and then they fell under their control again. So the name of ups and downs is called hosts, tzvaot. So during the work, when a person should say, if I'm not for me, who is for me? They, during the work, think that they themselves perform the ups and downs, meaning that they are men of war, called an army, a mighty man. mighty men, actually. Then, when they are redeemed, then they attain that the Lord is of hosts, meaning all the ups and downs that they had were given to them by the Lord, meaning even the descents come from the Lord, that a person doesn't just get ups and downs so many times, but that God gave them all these exits. An exit meaning exit from holiness, and coming meaning entering holiness. Everything is done by the Creator. Therefore, after the redemption, the Creator is called the Lord of hosts. And who is he? The King of Israel, and his Redeemer. Thus we can interpret the verse, and saviors who come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of the South. Mount meaning thoughts, contemplations in Hebrew, which are thoughts that bring one to Zion, which comes from the word Yitziot, exits. Mount of Zion will be the thoughts and contemplations that bring descent to a person, meaning that it takes itself outside of holiness. These thoughts, it'll be revealed afterwards that from them the Savior has come to judge the Mount of Esau. The Mount of Esau means the thoughts and contemplations that belong to the evil Esau. Judge meaning conquering and subduing the thoughts of evil Esau. And that would mean saviors come up. Who is it? Who are those who were saved to conquer the Mount of Esau? This is the Mount of Zion, meaning the thoughts that made them exit the holiness. They themselves, meaning the descents, helped to subdue the Mount of Esau. It is as it is written, from the blow itself, he fixes a bandage. So the fact that they had descents, which is called a blow, at which time he exits holiness and falls into the authority of the Sitracha, on the side, from that comes only good. And it is also, as it is written, he bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. That from that a person sees that he is worse than everyone. Therefore he does what he can, and he does not rest until he sees that the Creator redeems him from the authority of the evil itself. And it is written, savers shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. And it is written that kingship was to the Lord, meaning at that time, and the kingship shall be the Lord's, meaning during the redemption, as it is written, the King of Israel and his Redeemer. And before that, isn't the King the Lord King? So who rules the world? We have to interpret that Malchut has two names. The first is Zion, the second is Jerusalem. And in the work we should say that Zion is called when it is still not apparent by for itself, which is called Malchut, which is internal, meaning that the creatures still do not see that Malchut controls the world, and there is no other power in the world, but the Lord alone is the King. And this is still concealed from the creatures. And it is called Zion, meaning it is the exits from holiness. And a person thinks that the other side controls him then. This is because he feels he has no need for spirituality, meaning that faith in the greatness of God is concealed. And sometimes he exits so much the work to such an extent that he forgets that there is the matter of the work of God, which is called that he fell from his state, that he was working enthusiastically and thought that from this day on he'll remain in the holy work permanently. And he suddenly sees after some time that he's completely out of holiness, meaning he does not remember the zero point, meaning he's incapable of remembering the moment that he left holiness and fell into the corporeal world. And this is because during the fall, a person is unconscious and remembers nothing. Just like in this world, when a person falls from a high place, he doesn't remember having fallen. But only after he recovers, he sees that he is in the hospital. So it is in the work. And this is called Zion, meaning during the redemption, at which time he sees the kingdom of heaven openly, he attains that the Creator redeemed him from the hand of the evil itself. Then Malchut is called Jerusalem, whose control is open. Then is the time to see that all these descents were from the King, meaning all the thoughts and contemplation, alien ones and contemplations that they had, they were no other force, but they were sent by the Lord, meaning that the descents too were sent by the Creator, so as to create in them the need for the help of God. It turns out that the Mount of Zion, that it is written that the Saviors come up to judge the Mount of Esav, they say that the Mount of Zion was also Malchut, called Zion, meaning its power was concealed. And she helped judge the Mount of Esav, meaning that they conquered the evil Esav, meaning they corrected the Esav, and now they see, attain, that there is no other force in the world. As it is written, that the kingdom shall be the Lord's, meaning that now they see that then too the kingdom was the Lord's, not only now, but before that, but also before that, because there was none else beside him. And now when they have been redeemed, they attain that that was the case before too. But now, but during the concealment, they have to believe that it is done by the Creator. And this is called above reason. Whereas now they attain that it is so. But after that, they should come to the end of correction, which is called the future kingdom come. When kingdom comes, at which time the Lord shall be king over all the earth, meaning even the nations of the world, meaning that the Creator will be revealed to the nations of the world as well, as it is written, "For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them." And this is called the king. The Lord is king over all the earth, meaning that even before the end of correction, the Lord is king over all the earth. But this is called unknowingly, meaning they don't know it, that the Creator is the leader of the world. As it is written, who in your every act, in the upper ones or in the lower ones, can tell you what to do and what to act? That only He does everything, and there is no other force in the world but Him. But this belongs to the people of Israel who believe in God. They can say that the Lord is king, meaning knowingly that they know that the king rules them. And it's not that the Lord himself knows that he is the king, which is called unknowingly. But they have taken upon themselves the burden of the kingdom of heaven in faith above reason. And they consider it as though it is within reason. And this is called knowingly, meaning that faith above reason in the work means that you have to believe that although the mind doesn't see that it is so, and he has several proof that it is not, as he wants to believe, it is called faith above reason, meaning that he says that he believes as though he could see within reason. This is called faith above reason in the work, meaning that this is great work for a person to take upon himself against reason, meaning the body does not agree to it, but still He takes it upon himself as though it was within reason. For this kind of faith, we need help from the Creator. Therefore, for such faith, a person should pray to be given the strength to resemble Him, as though he attained it within reason. Meaning, a person should not pray to the Creator to let him understand everything within reason, but he should pray to the Creator to give him the strength to accept faith above reason, as though it was within reason. But first, he must believe in the faith of the sages, that this is the will of the Creator, that we take upon ourselves the faith of God above reason. And here, in this order, begin the descents and ascents. Sometimes he has stronger faith, and sometimes he falls from his degree, and then he has to believe, when he prays to God, that he will help him, and he doesn't see that he received the necessary help. But then he must also believe in faith about reason that everything comes from God, and at the same time say, if I am not for me, who is for me? And then he comes to Mount Zion, and then we come to Mount Esav, at which time the entire work is before we are redeemed and exit their control. And then we come to know the work, as it is written, thus saith the Lord, King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. As it is written, every one of flesh will call you by your name, to turn unto you all the evils of the land, to recognize and know all the residents of the world, at which time everyone will know that the Creator is the King. But before that, only the people of Israel know that He is the King. Rav's words. This article is about acquiring the ability to go above reason, which is when a person comes to the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, meaning it is the head of all the situations, when he finds that the Creator is the Lord of hosts, meaning that a person has gone through all the situations of ascents and descents, which are come in and go out, and when he goes through them, he is like a soldier. And when his heart from all the descents, he comes to come and go. He built this army in himself. He built it above reason against the obstructions. The obstructions are called the Mount of Esav. Mount comes from the word contemplations, thoughts that come to him according to the root of his soul, the structure of his soul. So when he overcomes him above reason, he comes from the Mount of Esav to the Mount of Zion, which are ascents. And then by this work, in his thoughts above reason, he acquires the force of Bina, which is why he is called Israel, straight to God, because this directness in the aim to the Creator he gets from Bina. And then he comes to from the discovery of general providence that the king is, that the Lord is king, the king of the world, he comes to private providence that the Lord is the king of Israel. King of Israel meaning that he discovers it in what he does, knowingly. And the king of Israel means that it is above reason when he discovers it through the work of Israel, straight to God, yes, only if he considers himself, if he works like Israel, above reason. Then he discovers that the Creator does everything that happens to him. And then he comes from the Mount of Zion to Jerusalem. From the Malchut of Zion to the Malchut of Jerusalem. The end of this situation, when he discovers that the Creator is the King of over all the earth, meaning all the desires, past and present, when he examines the adhesion with the Creator in all of his desires, it is called that he comes to the beginning of the year, head of the year. This is called the beginning, the head, the highest situation of everything he studied and did in the desires of the soul. That's at the end. So, on the one hand, you might say it's the beginning of something new. That after that, there's an ascent, a state where it is above all the corrections. And you might also say that it is the summary of everything a person goes through in this entire year. And it is the consequence of the corrections of all the desires in the soul. When it comes to state, it is called, to that state, it is called that it comes to the beginning of the year. Questions? Above reason means actually the question is, what is above reason? And what is the connection of above reason with bestowal? What is the connection between the bestowal that I have to acquire? I don't know why, but they said I do have to acquire it. And above reason, I also don't know why I need to do it. So, I have no desire in me, no urge for bestowal, for above reason, all these things. I don't know what it is. But of through everything that happens to me, when I'm rejected, yes, what he calls Zion thoughts, from all these incidents that I'm, all these rejections, I come to a state where I have to find the reason. Why does it happen all the time? Why do I feel bad? And afterwards, who does this bad thing to me? When I encounter that question, which is actually the same question, what is bad? Who? Where this bad comes from? It's all, those are all questions about my origin, the Creator. I begin to feel and see from everything that happens to me that directly I cannot discover Him. And without discovering Him, I have nowhere to go. I can't just be calm without it. And these situations force me to discover Him. And then I see that I can discover him not with my five senses, but only above reason. What is above reason? How much I am willing to use not my own attributes, but above them. Meaning, not that I will discover with my mind, with my understanding, who the Creator is. He does this, he does that, that I will see what he does. But this way I will never find, I will never attain any revelations. But I will not attain any recognition. I have to come to a state where I get a sensation from him, but not in my senses. It is called that I seemingly attain reason, but not by discovering him. It is called that I discover him in the sixth sense, or with faith above reason. What is the power of faith? It is the attribute of Bina that a person acquires. Before he acquires, he doesn't know what it is. In order to bestow, you might want to call it. We don't know what that is too. You might say the sixth sense, we don't know what that is. So if I acquire this, then I have the ability to contact the Creator by this unnatural conception called above reason. It is quote unquote something I don't know what it is. I don't understand. Attain it in my vessels of reception. I don't feel it. I don't feel it in my vessels of reception, because understanding and feeling are what we feel in our vessels, in what we understand of what we feel in our vessels. So I don't have any of it. I have something completely different above it, some new receptacle. It is called the returning light, the spiritual vessel, sixth sense, you might want to call it. But we don't know what it is. Some new channel to the Creator opens in us, and this is an active channel, and in it we discover the Creator, and in it we are able to do it with our ordinary senses, with our ordinary channels. We can never do it. And in order to somehow give a name to this connection, we say faith above reason, just to indicate that it is not in the ordinary senses and understandings. It goes above it in a different way. It is not something preliminary. It is something that is above the barrier. If a person can do it, even to the smallest extent, above all his senses and vessels, it is called that he has passed the barrier. and then he begins the degrees. The degrees are his ability to acquire these degrees above reason, above his own reason. So the 125 degrees are the discovery of his vessels of reception, mind, his own mind, 125 times, one by one, more he finds greater desires and a greater reason, and on top of it he acquires a vessel that goes above it, above reason. And when he attains this, all this ability of above reason to be in contact with the Creator, it is called that it came to the beginning of the year. The beginning of all these changes, all these cycles that he went through inwardly. Above reason is not something intellectual that you attain. It is, I would say, it is the, it is a different ability that we don't have. It's a different, a natural channel that a person discovers that he, that there is such a thing. We don't know what it is. We don't know that there is such a thing. And this is what we call the sixth sense, spirituality, the correction of the mind, vessel of reception. It is a power of Bina that we acquire. How do we come to it? Only through what he said, by the understandings that come from the ins and outs. Okay, so the ascents and descents are not our own, they're God's act. So this is only a reason to discover the work of above reason. Why? So what is this process for? That in the end we find that we're not doing even the smallest thing in it. How can you be so certain that God does everything? And just saying that he does everything, it's not even a discovery for you. Those are just words you're saying. It's not that you live by it. But, yes, okay, it's written. They say so. That we have some upper force that runs everything and there's none else beside him. Okay, I heard. But you don't live in this revelation and identify with it, and the and identifying with it determines your every thought, every act, and I feel myself like a glove that inside it there is his hand that does everything in me, every process, turns every atom in me, every thought, every desire, the consequences from them, the very beginning and the very end. That's how I feel the Creator in me. And only then I can say that he is the King. So can you say that? Do you see it? And besides, do you also agree with it? Agree with, even to such an extent that even that force had not been clothed in me, I would by myself of my own wish I would do the same things as he does. I would not only agree with him, but I would with my own strength do this, go through the same process as he did. Has he brought me food? Just saying like that, I don't even know what he does. I don't know him, his actions. So he says, Habash, that there is the king of the world, and there's the king of Israel. The king of the world is just, everyone says, you know, the Lord is great. But Israel are those who attain him through the act of straight to God, because of their desire to discover it. Their desire to discover it, meaning they are willing to give up their knowledge and go with faith above reason. That's the difference between the rule of Torah and the rule of landlords. Just saying, everyone says. They think they're corrected at the end of correction. And when Israel come to it, it takes a great deal of work. They have to straighten out their every desire, every intent toward the Creator, to such an extent that they become like Him. And when they discover Him and become like Him, then they can say that He is the King of the world. What is the world? The world is me. When I checked and agreed, accepted His guidance. And where is the consent? It is in that I would do the same thing if He didn't exist. By that I built the image of God in me. It is called that I grow from zero to Ensof and attain an equal degree with Him. The person never asks for pain. Of course not, but by the pains that he is sent, what is the pain? By discovering his desires that are in a mismatch with the Creator. They're not in accordance with Him, and they all have to be completely like the Creator. The Creator shines with His light toward man's desires gradually, and then a person sees in every desire he feels, though he doesn't understand, that something is wrong. And these pains are revelations of our difference from the Creator. Even now, when I suffer, any kind of suffering, I don't know, something bugs me. I sit on something that pinched me. It can be the most physical thing to the most spiritual thing. Any sign of pain is a sign of a discrepancy between the light and the vessel. And these discoveries push a person to the purpose. We don't have to be too smart, but if we pay attention to it, then we can accelerate the development of our recognition. Otherwise, we get even greater pains. Paying attention means what is the origin of the pain. Someone told you, or you read in a book. If you hadn't read it in a book, would you know it? Knowing means that the light comes inside the vessel. This is knowing. If you just suffer, it doesn't mean that you know. Knowing means you know the origin of the pain. You will slowly discover how you can know your origin, the pains and sulks point to their origin. And all you have to do is want to find out, to work against the pain. Meaning, if I suffer, either I want to get rid of the pain, or I look at myself like a laboratory when I cut off my own flesh, and I look, why am I suffering? This is my piece of flesh, I have to cut it off and see why I'm suffering. By that you will attain wisdom above reason. But my ordinary vessels can't help me here. Your dialogue with yourself is done through ordinary vessels, yes, but because you are dealing with a method that was written by people who are corrected already at the end of correction, then you get power from them, the surrounding light. Of course, if the power hadn't come from above, you could be circling this issue your entire life, but you wouldn't get anything. It's like philosophy. What's the difference between us and them? That they use their mind, but they don't extend the surrounding light. If you study those special origins, special books in order to extend the surrounding light, then you are beginning to use something above you, above your own nature. That's the difference. Either you use only your own mind with your inquiries. It's like philosophers. You're going in the same ground, on the same level. So you don't get the correction of the surrounding light. You just become smarter superficially. But it doesn't give you the possibility to get rid of the pain or come to the origin of pain. It's just an intellectual summation. That's philosophy. So if I don't extend the upper force that will help me to exit pain, but I don't extend it in order to exit pain, but in order to know the origin of the pain, that's man's work. So that's actually what we need to ask of the Creator. The minute the upper force begins to work on us, our request changes. We begin to ask not for the satisfaction, but for the correction. We begin to want to resemble that light. Without realizing what happens to us first, and then consciously, just like in Prina Aleph, at first she wants to receive, enjoy the light, but after sometimes she suddenly wants to give the seeds. That's the result of the influence of the light on us. So if it weren't for this remedy, we wouldn't be able to come to anything. The difference between the wisdom of Kabbalah and philosophy and all the other methods that it uses the surrounding light. In our corrected state, we extend from there the power of correction that exists already. I extend from my current from my corrected state into my current state because I want to be there. I can't hear the question. Couldn't hear the question. Faith above reason is a spiritual vessel. It is the attribute of the Creator that is clothed in me. Bina, when it is inside Malchut, when Malchut attains the attribute of Bina, it is called faith above reason. Reason is the attribute of Malchut. Faith is Bina. So faith above reason is Bina above Malchut. If a person uses this faith above reason in order to finally fill Malchut, it is a process or an inclination of a shell. If he uses it in faith above reason, in faith above reason, it is a process that we work for in holiness. Either it is giving in order to receive, or it is giving in order to give, or receiving in order to give. Faith above reason, the power of Bina, can be used in two ways, just like in this world. I can give to a person, and by giving him, I can receive from him. We do it all the time, actually. Either I intend to exploit the Creator for my own good, it is called Pharaoh or Shell, or I turn to him without any thought of myself for his good. This is faith above reason, as it should be, and it's called, and this is holiness. Reason and feeling, what are those? What's the difference between them? Reason is attainment in the vessels of reception. That's knowledge. Faith above reason is when the aim is not to attain into my vessels of reception, but my aim is to equalize in form, to cling to faith, which is above reason, the vessels of reception. Can we combine other methods like yoga, meditation, into Kabbalah? Impossible. All those methods are opposite. They contradict Kabbalah because they don't use the vessels of reception in order to come to some kind of feeling or understanding of anything. All those methods they suppress the vessels. They don't develop them. All of them. Just like this wisdom is called the wisdom of Kabbalah, reception. Those are methods of how not to receive. All of them. Receive as less as possible. That's why they have this tendency to vegetarianism, or I don't know, breathe less, think less, want less, something less than normal. To diminish a person, to degrade him from human to animate or to vegetative or to even to still. This all comes from ancient Egypt, where it was at the height of it. They made something that doesn't disintegrate even of a dead body with their mummies.
And
And all the Eastern methods come from that as well. So there's a spiritual source to it, and there's also a corporal justification. If you have masses of people, when you give them an ideology that a person should want as less as possible in life and he'll be happy, then it is accepted. It immediately bears fruit. It is, everyone can understand it. And because of a lack of choice, when it is taken and given a spiritual symbol, not just ideological, but when there is some spiritual justification above our life and death, by which a person gets some eternal reward, then you turn it into a religion. To a great force. When does it collapse? Only when, over thousands of years, when a person evolves, his ego evolves. It is in each and every one of us, but it opens in every generation more and more and makes us develop whether we like it or not. We realize our egos, and the world as a result develops. We do new things, bad things, good things, but we're always pushed to do something new. That's because new desires appear in every life. And then even those nations who wanted to want as less as possible come to a state that that's it. They can no longer hold to it. And even nations that are endangered, like China, we see that they have no choice, but they have to start being like other nations. They have to open the borders, open themselves, and start using their will to desire to receive like everyone else. You can't always suppress everyone. These methods will fall within this century, and nothing will be left of them. People who go to India today, they just want some trip. No one is able to actually be in it. If they can, then they turn themselves into a primitive animal that doesn't use its abilities. But only, I don't want to talk about it too much, but it's kind of the last shell that still exists against development. But we can't go against the evolution of the will to receive. It'll take another 10-20 years. That's it. It'll be over. Those who can get away from their pains for the time being into these dogmas, these systems, teachings, or can detach a part of their brain and lower themselves to that degree and settle for it, they're not for us. Those are people with a primitive way of thinking. It's just not developed. No. Let them be. But the world is moving very fast. Of all these, vegetarianism and all that, it is all against nature. It is not a correction. It is trying to avoid the correction. We will not get anything by it. Perhaps some temporary relaxation, but nothing more. It, the ego is not, not only is it important for progress, besides the ego, there is nothing. You cannot limit the ego. You cannot suppress the ego. It must evolve, and we have to just correct it, use it correctly, but not suppress it, because our ego is our will to receive. You cannot erase the will to receive. It's not going to help. By that, you only come to trouble. The entire world is one big ego, in every level, still vegetative, animate speaking. The purpose of the world is to realize this ego, use it to the fullest, not erase it. Well, what do you want to erase? You want to erase the very substance? You can't do it. Give a shot to a person, turn him into a vegetable, okay? Make him unconscious, okay? He'll suffer less, of course. But how much can you do it? What methods can you use for that? So, all these methods and all the religions, all of them, are not a solution. It'll come. The ego is not a desire to equalize with the Creator. It is a desire to be instead of Him. I will rule. That's man's ego. Each and every one. That's what he wants to say. Just like Pharaoh says, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? It is a symbol of our ego. The ego is not a process. It is the power with which I build the process. I can feel, you know, that I want to rule instead of him, or I can come to a state where I understand that I have to be like the Creator. I have to acquire his attributes, and then I will rule in his place. So in his place is not against him in this case. I couldn't hear the question. Faith above reason must be over the entire reason, over all the vessels of reception. They must all be covered. All the vessels of reception must be covered with Bina, with the vessels of bestowal. To come to a state that you love the Lord your God, it is a correction over the entire reason of the vessels of reception to such an extent that I come to complete match. In faith above reason, I built vessels that bring me to a state of loving the Lord my God. So now my vessels of reception are completely like the attributes of Bina. I use them not only in order to resemble Bina, but I use actually the vessels and I receive in order to bestow. There must be the restriction and the activation of the vessels of reception. What is the difference between all the rejections that you mentioned and the correction and the restriction? In our correction, we come to a state where we restrict the will to receive and don't use it, and then begin to use the will to receive in receiving in order to bestow. What is the difference between this state, this restriction of what the will to receive, and the Eastern teachings that suppress the will to receive. The difference is simple. First of all, the minute a person begins to study Kabbalah, he begins to evolve his will to receive, develop it. It doesn't say anywhere that we have to suppress our will to receive. Instead of working on the will to receive, you have to work on closeness to the Creator, on the light correcting the will to receive. And the greater will to receive you have, you need more light to correct it. So you go and get more light for correction over the will to receive that constantly grows. And that's how you continue. When you come to a state that in the light that you attain through the study, you attain that your entire desire is actually against spirituality, against the Creator. It is for yourself. And then you come to a state where if you want to go from in order to receive to another to bestow, you have to stop using your will to receive as it is. And then you go to bestow, to a will to receive that works by a different way, a way of bestowal. So in the middle there's something called restriction. What is a restriction? I restrict not the will to receive. I can't restrict it. I can't suppress it. I don't do it. I only, in the light that shines to me, I see that the previous use is bad. So by seeing how bad it is, how against the Creator it is, I stop using it. It is not that I restrict it, I stop using it in its former way, former way of satisfaction or fulfillment, and I go to, I come to another. But it is a system of using the will to receive, not suppressing it. I don't suppress it, I develop it. The greater it is, I receive more and more. That's why it is said that anyone who is greater than his friend, his desire is greater than his friend's. The restriction is not the eradication of the will to receive or erasure of it. It is not using the previous way and using the spiritual way, coming to the spiritual way of use. I never mind about the intensity of the desire. The greater the better. I only have to be concerned with the correction that this will to receive will be in order to bestow. But the aim, we don't have to pay attention to our desires. We don't care what desires we have to kill, to the greatest sins. It doesn't matter. They all come from the Creator. He sends them to me, and I don't have to erase them, to erase what I get from Him. What I get, I have to understand that what appears in me now is a sign that I can correct it. That's why it is called the system, method of Kabbalah, reception. How to work with your vessels of reception. And all the teachings, Eastern teachings, suppress reception. What's good about those systems is that a person feels good immediately. Just like in Russia. See how many people dream about how good it was then, in the time of communism. There was nothing good then, but what do they think about? I knew that I had my own salary, my own work, no one threw me, no one fired me, kids went to kindergarten, to school, everything was fine, was secure. Well, I don't have what they have in the West, a great business, a lot of money, everything is suppressed by the government, but everyone's suppressed. Everyone's oppressed. Today, most people would be willing to return to that state. What do I need this freedom for? Now there's hatred and envy and pride.
And
even the culture was everyone, when everyone was as one, it was very well planned. If it weren't for man's ego that constantly burns and grows, for the Chinese it worked even better for thousands of years. But you can't remain in it. What is whole faith? There's faith and there's whole faith. Faith is the attribute of the soul that a person acquires from Bina. If he works in Galgalta Einayim, in Katnut, in bestowing in order to bestow, it is called the power of faith. But if he can add the Ahab to it, receive in order to bestow, it is called whole faith, not just faith. When there is light of wisdom and light of mercy. Is it correct to say that as we advance, that faith above reason becomes faith within reason? Faith above reason never becomes faith within reason. Because we don't understand it. That's why we're talking about a world we can't feel. And we think that things happen as they do in our world. Faith above reason, the attributes of the soul, the spiritual attributes are completely detached from what there is in silence. Faith above reason is above reason. It'll never be felt within reason. This fear of Bina and Malchut remains forever. Malchut can never change. The will to receive remains as it was created. It enjoys being filled. Its fulfillment, its filling is the Creator or light. It's the same. And the will to receive remains that way. That's it. You can't change how you use it, but not itself. That's why you can't work with it. You shouldn't suppress it, change it in any way. If you want to use it differently, go ahead. Just add a new direction to it. How to use it, what for. But it remains as it was. So now you understand that the entire difference between holiness and shell is not the act, but the direction of the act. Rabash gave an example about you take a knife and you start cutting up a person. If it is in favor of man, it is a surgery. But if it is against man, it is a murderer. A murder. So the act is the same. The act must be complete. But the question is, what for? That's a difference between our method called Kabbalah. This is the essential difference between Kabbalah and everything else, because we never work on the will to receive. We just acquire the new aim to bestow, which can only be built by the surrounding light that gives us the attribute of Bina inside Malchut. That's the aim. And other teachings, because they can't use the surrounding light, they have no connection with the spiritual origin where the surrounding light comes from. Because they don't have it, they turn to the will to receive itself and see, well, this will to receive is the source of all evil, so we have to eradicate this evil. So we have to want as less as possible, limit a person from being bad. It's like you cut off a person's hands. Okay, now he won't be able to do harm in certain ways. Did you correct anything by that? You just distorted creation. That's why the will to receive will remain, and the acts remain. What are the acts? We have 613 desires, and they have to be fulfilled, all of them. With the aim, without the aim, doesn't matter. They demand their satisfaction. It'll appear soon, this substantial difference. It'll become apparent, the difference between Kabbalah and all other methods. Because of that, there are other systems like that are around Kabbalah, like, I don't know, various institutions around Kabbalah. It is in order to explain the system itself, what it is. There will be many questions, charms, I don't know, red strings, whatever. Beliefs, tarot cards, they're all in order to purify this. I'm glad this is all flourishing now. This is all in order to it's a sign that everything has to become clear now, and you can't suppress those methods. You shouldn't do it. If the will to receive wants it, if a person can settle for them, if a person can still be satisfied by them, it's a sign he didn't explain them entirely. That's why Kabbalah doesn't ruin and doesn't change any other method. It says that each of these systems have a certain time and place, because they all come from man's will to receive. A person brings them out and develops them and thinks that he can be satisfied by them. But before he comes to the recognition of evil, that these systems do not satisfy him, he must remain in them. That's why everything should exist, has a right to exist. The Chinese, Indians, everything should be there. And the more we let them flourish, the sooner we'll find the hypocrisy in them. Just like we can't suppress the will to receive, we should not also suppress any method that the will to receive thinks it can satisfy itself with. Because we know that eventually we have no choice, but there is no other way but the method of Kabbalah. Why? Because it is how to use the will to receive. It is the substance of creation. Nature is above you. You cannot change it. Other things, I have all kinds of desires, so do I use all of them? Do I use part of them? What do I do with them? We don't relate to desires, but we're looking for the giver of the desires. That's our entire correction. If you're inside the desires, you are inside your beast. You are inside your nature. There will be no way out of it. No satisfaction in it. No correction in it. Inside the desire, there is nothing. It's empty. If you want to satisfy your desire, in order to satisfy it, you have to turn to its source, to the source of the filling, not remain in the desire. It'll be a fool that sits, folds his hands and eats his own flesh. So there is no choice but by the Creator giving us the feeling of sensation in our desires. He puts us in a state where we ask about the origin of the pleasure, where the fulfillment is. And accordingly, we have to want the satisfaction. Think about Him, not about our emptiness. So we shouldn't suppress the desires and think about them, not even be connected with them, to go above them. That's what we want to do. We have to connect with the source of the fulfillment. So I have to cling to the upper one. It's not that by that I detach myself from reality, the will to receive is called reality. I don't detach myself from it. I just know that in reality itself I will find no answers. That's it. It's very logical, very accurate, scientific. That's why the wisdom of Kabbalah contains all the wisdoms in it. It's not just a saying, but still hard to explain it.